Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll be right back.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Well, we made it to the extra hour. My goodness, if you've missed the first hour and you're just joining in, let me tell you, you got to hear the first hour. We talked about focusing on the kingdom of God. Focusing on the kingdom of God. It's the only way that we're going to be able to survive is to focus on the king and his kingdom. Right. You know, abiding with God is not just a good idea. It's a necessity.
Yes.
It's a necessity to be able to survive, and not just to survive, but to thrive in our walk with God. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're bored, I don't know how, but if you're bored today with God, maybe you can be bored with religion, but maybe you're not bored with God. Let me say, you got to remind yourself of the majesty and the supremacy of God so that we can be in check and have the fear of God so that we don't become familiar, that's so right. That we don't become complacent and apathetic and indifferent in our relationship with God, which opens the door to sin. Let me tell you something. There are consequences when we just are indifferent towards God. So you want to catch it. We talked about what was happening in the Middle East and how we can continue to pray and to brace ourselves. You got to go to the VFN Torch, VFNTV.com, and select the Torch and continue to look at all of the prophetic teachings and messages and warnings that are available to you so that you too not only can be prepared, but that so that you can also be one who is equipped to prepare others.
That's right.
So important. So important. Well, I wanted to talk today, guys. You know, we have some history and getting men together and long history in God. And then, you know, earlier this week, we talked about the tragedy of Jovan Belcher, linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, who not only murdered his girlfriend of you know, they both have a 3-month-old child, but then later wind up committing suicide himself. So this is important. This, you know, our hearts go out to the Belcher family. Our hearts go out to this young lady, Cassandra's, you know, her family. And just now we have a 3-month-old child that's not only motherless, but the child is fatherless.
Yeah.
And, you know, It's just a tragedy, but this tragedy has so stirred the nation, and people are talking everything from gun control to manhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kevin Powell did a segment on CNN, and he starts questioning and starts talking and just starts a conversation about manhood and the ability to communicate feelings. And I think that something that they're saying, and they're still finding out information about what actually happened with Jovan and why this thing, you know, why would a 25-year-old football player who's, you know, playing for the NFL would do such a thing? And
which just goes to show you, I mean, fame, success, you know, money doesn't mean squat, doesn't mean anything.
I mean,
if you're miserable and you don't know God.
Absolutely. We're seeing this every day. Mm-hmm. On our television screens, that money, fame does not mean anything in the end.
Mm-mm.
Not anything. Let me tell you something. You never see a U-Haul behind a Hearst.
No.
You can't take this stuff with you.
Mm-mm.
At the end of the day, your fame and your money and your status and your toys are not going to do anything for you when you stand before God on Judgment Day.
That's right.
And we can't live for this life, but we need to live with eternity stamped in our minds. What Leonard Ravenhill says, I love that. But we've got to live with eternity stamped on our foreheads. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about manhood. I mean, we're talking about this conversation got started and they feel that maybe he had all this stuff going on, but he was not able to communicate and be able to share this with anyone, not another man. And to think that there's so many people today, so many men that are going through so many troubling times and they don't have anyone that they can turn to.
Right.
That they're all alone. And you think about it, that even from young boys, you know, we look at society and we look at, you know, what's been happening over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes boys are told that, hey, you know, don't share your feelings. Yeah. You know, girls
don't
share their
cry.
Feelings.
Don't cry.
Cry.
Don't be a baby. Yeah.
Yeah, don't be a baby. Don't show your emotions. Mm-hmm. And so they bottle them up until something happens.
Right.
You know, until something snaps, until something breaks.
Right.
And so let's talk about it. Let's have this conversation. Let's have this conversation on manhood. I mean, we have a problem. I mean, with 30 plus million children today living in fatherless homes, I mean, we have ourselves have spent a good portion of our lives, 10 plus years, defending the cause of the fatherless. Mm-hmm. Grateful for Greg and his leadership over the years and what he has done to be able to stand for fathers and for men. It's just been humongous. It's been huge.
Yeah.
And many men today are grateful for it. All of us included.
Yeah.
Grateful.
And our sons.
Yes. And those that know us and connected to us. I mean, the difference that one man can make, you know.
Right. Sons and daughters.
Absolutely. And so, but we're talking about the problem of fatherlessness. You have 30 million children living in fatherless homes. The question is, you know, who's raising our boys and daughters?
Right.
You know, who's teaching them? And you look at pop culture today. And how much of pop culture is influencing the minds of young people? How much of the culture today is influencing what is considered cool? Mm-hmm. I mean, they take a word like pimp. They take a word like pimp. And now today the word pimp in today's culture amongst young people means something good. And if you ask someone 50 or 60 years old what that word means to you, they'd tell you, my God, it's a horrible thing. Someone who controls a woman and sell her body, that's horrible. But today, that would be a cool saying, just the twisting of what's right. And now you have movies. You've got commercials. In fact, me and Eddie were talking about this just the other day when I interviewed him, that there's a commercial in the Northeast for a local cable company, and I'm walking by and I go, what in the world is that? And, you know, the kids are watching a television program, and I guess they were drawing, so they look up and says, oh, Dad, that's a commercial. So this commercial says there's two young people making out in a restaurant. I mean, this is just like, intense. You're like, what the heck is this? And they show a man sitting down in the restaurant. It looked like a little Subway or something like that. And he looks at them this is horrible.
Right.
And the internet company was trying to promote. So the guy opens up his laptop and just starts looking at some YouTube video or just something nonsensical as a way to distract himself from what he's seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, get the internet, get wireless internet so you cannot be distracted by what you see when you're, you know, in a public place. I mean, come on.
Are you serious?
Not the man, you know, displaying him in a teaching moment where he'd go to this young man and say, son, do you think that you need to be doing this out here in the public? Is it a young lady? Right. Do you think that your parents would consider this a good thing for you to be doing? Displaying, you know, not showing the right thing.
Yeah, but, turning but a blind eye.
Yeah, showing a man being totally disinterested. So we got fatherless boys, fatherless children, and it's not just fathers that are not in the home. I mean, the average father today, according to statistics, spend about 35 seconds a day in meaningful, real conversation with their children. Meanwhile, these same children are watching 5 to 6 hours of television a day.
Right.
They're playing on their video games, which back in the day when we played on video games, it was just like you and the video game or maybe a friend that came over. Today, these video games, parents, if you don't know, they have headsets that you can communicate with someone far across the country, far across the world, and play this game virtually. And you should hear some of the conversation that these young kids are hearing from grown men that are playing these games. Over, you know, they're all connected and they're hearing in these shooting games, they're hearing themselves communicate and they're working as teams. And it's just like, oh my goodness, does your 10-year-old child, 15-year-old child need to be communicating with other people that are just talking just things that are not good?
Wow.
So, you know, we have a problem. And let me tell you something. What do we do about this? I mean, we talked about communication. And we talked about, is it okay for a man to express that he's actually hurt?
All right.
I mean, think about it. Today, in today's society, if a man actually cried in public, there's a strong feeling that that is a sign of weakness. And the truth is that is it really? We need to provide environments and teaching moments where we can begin to teach our boys and begin to teach men. And this is where the role of the church comes in. I mean, are we discipling? Are we getting men together? Are we getting, you know, teaching them, raising them, following the ways of the Lord?
Right.
And it's so important. You know, the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 13:11 that when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child.
Right.
But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. But the question is, when did you become a man?
Yeah, right.
When did you become a man? I mean, you're male, yes, but when did you transition from male to manhood? And how do you know that you became a man? If you ask the average man on the street corner today, when did you become a man? When did you know you became a man? What do you think you'll hear?
I'm sure a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, let's say when I got my first job. I came in. My father told me that when I got a paycheck, I was a man. Maybe my first check. You know, maybe their first sexual encounter. You know, the first fight. Maybe when they became married. Maybe when they had their first child, they said, I'm a man. I produced an offspring.
Right. My first maybe cigarette or first drink. Yeah, you know.
Exactly. And it's like, really, is that manhood? Is that what we've defined manhood to be? Is this what we've allowed society? And we punch the guy in the arm. He got his first tattoo. He's a man.
Right.
Really? Really? And so we got to begin to talk about this. It's not the young man's fault. It's not the person that is being attacked. I mean, we really got to begin to have this conversation where we can begin to have an open dialogue.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right. Absolutely.
And so let's begin to have that dialogue, and as we're doing now, but let's talk about what's even happening, you know, how the church can rise up. I know that ourselves, I mean, we've worked for years with men and getting men together in small men's groups and discipling and just providing an opportunity where men that are coming to God can be real and transparent. I mean, hasn't that been amazing?
Oh, yeah. It's very amazing. It's a great experience.
Wasn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the first time I went to a Promise Keepers event. The first time. I mean, I know that we have been to several events. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Chris and I, we were in Tropicana Bowl, I guess they call that, down somewhere in Tampa, one of those stadiums.
Yeah.
I know that you were in New Orleans,
right,
at, with Greg, and I actually happened to be in New Orleans that in that same stadium, and we didn't even know each other.
Right, right. Yeah, I remember that.
We went to Birmingham together,
mm-hmm,
that big one, mm-hmm, and we also were went to D.C., Washington, D.C., with 1 million Christian men.
That was
1
huge.
Million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We gathered together to repent before God on behalf of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something amazing. I mean, I, you know, we're believing for stadiums. I am longing for the day that my own sons are able to see other men locked hand in hand, you know, arm to arm, mano to mano, if you will,
mm-hmm,
in worshiping God.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I saw, and well, I actually went to Atlanta too. One of the things that I saw in Atlanta, you have one half of the stadium of men. This is all men now, uh-huh, men.
Mm-hmm.
It's one half of the stadium, and then they have the other half, I guess where the Falcons play, I guess.
Georgia Dome.
Georgia Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And the other half, and there's one side stands up and challenges the other side. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How love about that. You?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the roar in that stadium, and you can hear things rattle.
Mm.
And to see men worship, and what society fails to recognize is that men are very passionate. They're not just passionate when you put a helmet on them,
mm-hmm,
you know, and you hear them grunt or whatever. They're not just passionate about a sport.
Right.
But when a man finds God, he's passionate about a whole lot of things. He's passionate about God.
Mm-hmm.
He's passionate about his family. He's passionate about his children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about how we're going to have healthy men. We're going to have healthy boys.
That's right.
You know? And a lot of us, not all of us, we're products of our environment.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, it was hard for our parents if they didn't have a father in their life. You can only give what you have.
All right.
I'm doing the best I have with what I have been given.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the worst things that the enemy could do is just get us into a blame game where maybe we're blaming our parents or blaming our fathers or blaming, right, you know, where we were raised,
mm-hmm,
you know, and you can't get into the blame game.
That's right.
Just because they had or didn't have,
that's right,
a dad or mom too.
That's right. We're all dealt a different hand. You know, they were, you know, they had problems. You know, our problems are not necessarily, they're not our fault.
Right.
You know, and we're not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That we're responsible for our own actions, right, and what we do,
yeah,
and how we handle it. You know, so that's what happened with me. I mean, I had to learn what I didn't learn growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God had to teach me how to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through the awesome, you know, relationships that I got over the years. You know, with, mm-hmm, other men.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it was I had to be taught. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally relate. I was the same way. Didn't know what it was like to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, I was raised by my mother. You know, and but, you know, just like you, it was, you know, came through the same way. It was through other godly men speaking into my life. You know, telling me and teaching me right from wrong, and God teaching me through the wisdom of the Word what it was like to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And one of the most beautiful things that we did when we took all of these fatherless boys in the community from all ages, I mean, mm-hmm, from young boys to teenage and college age young men and also natural fathers and sons, that one of the things that we did that was so powerful is that we formed the tunnel,
mm,
and we called it the tunnel of affirmation. You had men on each side of this tunnel in a huge tent in the wilderness, no distraction, no girls, no ladies, no cell phones, no nothing.
No
just
video
men,
games. Yep.
No video games. And God met us in that tent year,
sure,
after year after year. This is a huge, I mean, huge, I mean, you would know the dimensions, but this is a huge tent.
A tent? That was like 8,000 square feet. It was huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. We fed up to 1,000 fathers and sons under this tent.
Sure did.
With a,
yeah,
stage and everything else, mm-hmm, and chairs. I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's huge. And so you had this just huge line, a gauntlet, if you will,
mm-hmm,
where every boy was able to go through this tunnel,
mm-hmm,
And we called it the Tunnel of Affirmation, but it later became, the boys started calling it the Tunnel of Love. And each boy would go down through this tunnel, and as men were affirming them and the fathers of the community were blessing them, they were saying affirmation. Tunnel of Love and the Tunnel of Tears.
Tunnel of tears. Right.
Because as each man was just affirming these young boys, they were telling them, hey, you're going to be, you know, the next doctor in this community. You can make it, and God has a plan for your life. And you know what? There's more for you in God. And they just were receiving these. And I'm so proud of these men. They were looking at these young boys in the eyes. They were pausing to grab them by the shoulders and to speak a word of life. The Bible says that the power of life is in the tongue, and they were just speaking life eye to eye. And all of a sudden, these boys that were just finished around playing sports and running around knocking each other down and doing all these crazy things hours ago, all of a sudden started breaking down. And they were just being so just overwhelmed.
They've never experienced that kind of love. Nobody's ever said anything positive about them. They could be successful. They could be or do anything they wanted to be. You know, they weren't a mistake. You know, that they are important. They are significant, and they are loved.
Yeah, but they're loved.
Yeah.
It was so powerful that men were trying to go through the tunnel, and when the other boys came out, they wanted
They did. Eventually, the line just collapsed on itself, you know, where men and boys, and it was just powerful, powerful.
Amazing, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
God, amazing.
God was just swirling in that tent.
Yeah, I mean, we heard just wails, wails come out of sons and fathers that they didn't get a chance to affirm.
Right.
You know, didn't get a chance to hear those words, that they didn't get the Father's blessing. You know, and it's just time. It's time for us to raise the next generation of men. It's time for us to communicate and to share that it's okay to express emotion and to talk about. And this is one of the things about getting men together in small groups. And we talked about the transformation, exponential transformation, getting abiding groups together, men together. But when you get men together and there's an environment where they can develop friendship and eventually brotherhood, a place where they can feel safe, men can begin to communicate. And when you have communication, there's a level of intimacy that occurs. You know, if you break the word intimacy down, you get into me see. And they begin to see into each other, begin to share that, you know what, we're all kind of alike. We've all had kind of the same different backgrounds, if you will. And what's the answer? Man, the answer is God. The answer is God. You know, think about it. You know, you teach a young boy not to share his emotions, not to share his feelings. So he has all this frustration bottled up. And what happens is that, you know, when someone gets angry, the first emotion. The first emotion was actually hurt. They're actually hurt. But it went from hurt to anger, and they exploded. But you didn't see that something happened. You're just seeing the rage, the raw anger going everywhere, but you didn't see initially that this man, this boy, was hurt. Speak to his feelings. Help him to communicate what happened, because no one's taught him.
Remember Pastor Willie Grayson?
Yeah.
Reverend G?
Yeah.
Well, Greg got a chance to talk to him recently, and he told him this testimony, which I thought was pretty cool. He says, he said he was at an event a couple weeks ago, and this guy got up to speak. And during his testimony, he started talking about how for a long time he had no relationship with his dad, even though his dad was in his life. And then he said, all that changed in one night at a camping trip for fathers. And so And he says, thanks for obeying God. Your reward is at hand. May the Lord be with you, brother.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That's beautiful? Amazing. Let me tell you, these testimonies of what occurred out there, I mean, we're still hearing them 10 years later.
I remember we ran into a couple of boys not too long ago, which they're men now, at this event, you know, and they're all grown up now, and they're just like these awesome young men, you know?
Right.
Remember when Derek was here not too long ago, man.
Derek Rice was in the studio.
Yeah, he's in the studio. It was beautiful.
But remember that they, Derek Rice and I wish we had that available. But I know it's, we have it somewhere. But we're Derek and Reverend G wrote that rap song "Stand By Me."
Yeah, yeah, I love that.
That was an amazing, amazing. Amazing song. "Stand By Me," telling, you know, encouraging Father, stand by me, stand by me.
Yeah, it's good.
And so we can begin to have this conversation. Listen, mm-hmm. you have sons. You know, if you don't have a son, you have a daughter. Your daughter one day is going to marry a boy, man.
Yeah.
This is an important conversation to have. So, you're just focusing on a man. Well, yeah, hello. I mean, we can do that. It's important. Mm-hmm. Let's begin to have this conversation. Let's begin to talk about raising healthy sons so that we can have healthy men.
Mm-hmm.
And let's begin to have, let's let the church continue to arise in this area and lead in this area.
Right.
And start encouraging men to get together to have abiding relationships. I mean, look at the years that we've spent in groups with other men.
Mm-hmm.
That we, you know, got our Bible, our journals,
yeah,
came together in a diner, you know, someone's home,
mm-hmm.
and just let it rip. Just start talking, you know, just start mm-hmm. talking about life and talking about our real situations and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Most men don't have another man there for them. And you look at Jovan Belcher, who was there for him, you know, and exactly. he thanked his coaches and he thanked, but really there to be able to communicate and to
right.
share.
Right.
You know, oftentimes when someone passes away, think about this. You live 80, 90 years, and there's no one outside of family that can be a pallbearer at your funeral?
Mm. Exactly.
Nobody?
Right. Who would carry my casket?
Right.
You know?
Good question. Outside of your, outside of your family. Is there six?
Yeah.
Is there five? Is there four?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you can't look at it from a situation of, you know, okay, well, then I need men in my life. Well, guess what? You need to be a man in someone else's life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in, don't think about this as well in a situation just to get for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I like what Mike Bickle says. Listen, if you're a certain age and you haven't got a spiritual father by now, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's just time for you to be one.
That's right.
It's just time for you to go ahead and be one and walk this thing out and raise other men, if you will,
mm-hmm.
in God. And the question is that if the church doesn't do it, we know who is going to do it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Who has been doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Who the world has been doing it?
Right.
And so our young boys have that as a frame of reference. Listen, you need to go to the torch. We have resources for you. You're not alone. Maybe someone has shared this highlight with you. Maybe you're listening to it today and you're saying, man, I need another man in my life. I didn't get this wisdom. The wisdom I got were from friends, and they're in the same boat I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like, you know, going down the wrong end of the river in the same boat with someone else that doesn't have a paddle. I mean, been there, done that. When you're in trouble, and this is how you know if you got someone in your life.
Yeah.
When you're in trouble and things are going down, whose counsel do you seek? Who is speaking into you? And if you find there's nobody there, I mean, this is the time. This is the time. We have resources for you. Mm. You want to go to the torch. I want to encourage you to search this highlight, exponential transformation, how to transform America. We can transform America one man at a time. And this highlight is just about being able to being connected in a small abiding groups and being able to share one-on-one with each other. You know, right. Romans 12:1-2 says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right?
But we're going to renew our mind on God's word. And we're also going to be able to have an opportunity to share one another true life experiences in God. We're talking about manhood today. Let's raise healthy men. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call on your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God, you know, you want to be close to him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways will end up following some ways that are not his ways. And eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Vine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also join us in the VFN family, you know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. It is so cool when you're reading the Bible, isn't it, Pat? When you find out when finally your life, your Christian walk lines up with what you're actually reading in your Christian Bible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so cool that when you actually have a source you can go to,
right?
Because it fits your life and your life fits the Word. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've been reading the Word of God and you've been reading as a history book or somebody's told you that there's not any more miracles anymore. Somebody's, you know, told you that that doesn't apply anymore. And they've replaced the Word of God with their traditions.
Mm.
Let me tell you something. You know, let every man be a liar and God be the truth. His Word is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. God has not changed. Men change.
That's right.
God hasn't changed. You know, if that's you, if you are presently not connected or related to a body of believers, or if you are at a place that it just seems dead. It's like your prayers hit the ceiling. Any conversations about going deeper in God, people don't know what you're talking about. When you're talking about, let's go do what the Bible says, and they say, no, let's just go see a movie instead. I mean, things like that. If that's where you listen, you know, maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing about it is you have to understand that when you step out of, I remember one particular person said this.
Mm-hmm.
They said, when I stepped out of tradition, men's tradition,
right,
and I stepped into VFN, it was like stepping right into the book of Acts chapter 4.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Listen, but you have to understand, this is not something you stick your toes in. When you want to follow God, you don't put a toe in it and find out what temperature it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, you know, walking with God. There's so many different men and women that are walking with the Lord that are in tune with what's going on. You know, George Barna writes in his book that people are leaving the traditional church not because they want to get away from God. It's because they're wanting to maintain their walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Think about it. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to stay close to God, because you stand alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
You stand alone before God, no witnesses and no suspects.
That's
you
right.
are there all by yourself. So you are accountable for you. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're ready to dive into the things of God, to dive into the deep, and you're ready to say, I just want to believe God. I want the Word to be alive and living and active in my life. I no longer want it nullified, but I want it to be living and active in my life. Maybe VFN's for you. VFN stands for Vine Fellowship Network, a network of abiding churches who are rightly related, seeking to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. Go to VFNfamily.org. VFNfamily.org. So, my friend, I want to say too to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking. And they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from a lot of our listeners and viewers and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
And Africa. I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV. And you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what? I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history, mm-hmm. our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back, seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today,
right.
what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris.
Hey, man, I like that dance you're doing. Can you do that again?
Hey, man, I can get down a little bit. It's some funky beats you've been putting out, producer. I'll tell you what, you're not bad there.
Yeah.
But we just had a conversation on manhood. And I'll tell you, this is a good conversation to have. Hopefully we'll get a chance to revisit this and continue to talk about such an important topic in the body of Christ today.
Yeah, it's very good.
You know, and I'm grateful for the men that I have in my life and for those that I receive from and share with. And I'll tell you, we're no man's an island.
Nope.
No man's an island.
Mm-mm. And you're not a healthy one. Not a healthy one.
No. No, I mean, you need your brothers and you need to be connected. And so important. So important. I wanted to share, abiding and spending time in the Word and came across 1 Samuel. It talked about, you know, Samuel anointing David as king.
Mm.
There are all these kings around these days.
Mm-hmm.
And something very interesting, you know, Samuel's going to anoint the new king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Saul had some issues, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, to think that God even repented of the fact that he made Saul king. I mean,
right.
We can ponder that for a while.
I regretted the day.
Yeah, I totally regretted the day. And so Samuel's on a quest to go anoint the new man, the new king of Israel that God has chosen. I mean, God has chosen this man. And so Samuel shows up, and I love this when he shows up. In verse 4, it says, Samuel did what the Lord had said, and when he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" I mean, my goodness, where is the trembling today when the prophet of God walks in, when the word of the Lord's about to come? Are we in awe of that word? I mean, just we need those days.
Mm-hmm.
We need those days. So Samuel says, we're going to have a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Going to Jesse's house.
That's right.
And so Jesse, he's about to anoint, you know, one of Jesse's sons as king. So Jesse has about 7 or 8 sons. And each one of them, he stands and parades in front of Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And Samuel's looking them over, each one by one. You can imagine the scene,
right.
You know, the prophet has showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And one by one, you know, Jesse's standing back and watching his boys, you know, go in front of his, you know, men, sons, mm-hmm. going across Samuel. And then the word says in verse 6 that when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. In verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, praise the Lord, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at.
Mm.
Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
That's right. Mm.
I mean, wow, step back. I mean, he says, I have rejected him. He didn't reject him as a person, but he just rejected him for the responsibility of being the king. You know, you got to be ready. You know what I'm saying? Got to be ready.
Right.
And, but Samuel was looking with the outside eyes. He wasn't looking with his seer eyes, if you will, but he was looking with the outward eyes and looking at the outward appearance.
Mm.
And many people today, they judge based upon that. Many people today fall prey to looking at people because of, I mean, how many people have got higher jobs just because they're good looking? You know what I mean?
I was just going to say that.
This culture is so obsessed with looks. And I mean, my goodness. I mean, any wonder why our daughters, our young girls are just so insecure? I mean, every airbrush magazine out there, it's just as horrible. It's not even realistic.
It's not even real.
No, it's just a tremendous pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God forbid a woman goes out without makeup or something. It's just like, you know?
Yeah, right.
Although makeup is a nice thing, though. Although
it does help a little bit.
Okay. let's keep that moving. But
so I hear. But, I mean, I don't know.
Don't look at me.
Not that I have any experience or anything like that. Let's clarify that.
Okay, just want to make sure. But you talk about judging from the outward appearance. You know, judging by the outward, making our, you know, an opinion. And to judge means to form a judgment, to have an opinion. And you can have a good opinion, but sometimes you can have a critical opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you know, the word tells us in Matthew 24:12 that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when love is growing cold, I mean, we're not seeing wickedness on the land today. When love is growing cold, then people are very quick to be judgmental, to be critical, and to form opinions of others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hold up, wait a minute. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to step into that. And it's just amazing how quick and easy someone just can go from, whoop, you know what I'm saying, just straight critical.
Right.
It was like no pass go, no pause, no, just flip the switch.
Yeah.
And love is growing cold. Love is growing, and the greatest I mean, think about this. Love is the most life-changing force in the world. Really, love is the most life-changing force in the world. Mm-hmm. And the greatest act in humanity that was ever done. You'll marvel at the acts of humanity. Look, the greatest act of humanity that was ever done was Jesus himself dying on the cross because he loved us.
That's right.
It's the greatest act of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And this act was what? Rooted and based in love.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember that. I mean, just we really need to remember that. The Lord really has me on this word of remember, you know, remember.
And it's important because how quickly we forget. We forget yesterday, you know, all the things that God has done in our lives. I mean, we get so caught up in the fires at our feet. We forget. Yeah. I mean, he's look where you came from.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Sometimes we may have to revisit it if we forget.
Tell me about it. I mean, when the word remembers in the book of Deuteronomy 16 times, and somebody's, you know, Deuteronomy is known as the book of remembrance, and he's telling his people, you need to remember this. Some things I want you to remember. Remembering, bring it back to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It takes effort. It takes action to do that. And so, listen, I mean, you're living today without an abiding journal? Not a good idea. You know, living today without a planner, you know, not a good idea. You know, you've got to be able to write things down. You've got to be able to remember the wonders of the Lord. Trust me. Trust me. There will be a day that you will need to encourage yourself like David had to encourage himself in the Lord and to bring to mind the things that God has done for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm telling you, I mean, this attitude of gratitude has to fall upon us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we're going to get critical.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be narcissistic. We're just going to think about ourselves. We're not going to take the time to care for others. And we'll start judging the very people that we were called to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when we see love, when you see judgments and you see, you know, people that are being critical, you're seeing a lack of love.
All right.
Call it for what it is.
That's right. You know?
And you may think at first glance that maybe this hasn't been something that's happened in your life. Maybe you've been the recipient of that. And I want to tell you today that if you've been the recipient of judgmental accusations and treatment, then let me tell you something. God's not judging you. God's judging you.
Mm-hmm.
And don't receive it. You know, so many times people are just, they own whatever someone speaks over their life as if it's, listen, if it's not godly, if it's not right, you don't need to accept that. Don't be like Velcro and let every word spoken over you just attach.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not of God, if it doesn't line up with God's word, let that thing go. Don't own it.
Right.
Yeah, but they said, but is it true?
Right.
Is it true?
That's
if
right.
It's say not true, let that thing go because you'll become a prisoner of that. In fact, that's what judging does. Judging locks that individual into the judgment, into the sentence that you've pronounced over that person.
That's right. I mean, if it is true, let it go.
True.
You got to let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I just can't get over that statement you just made a while ago, is that when you see people being critical, that's a lack of love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times do we have even just the slightest critical thought or make some passive statement, not even thinking about it, but to even make a statement about somebody or to look at a situation and judge it in any critical way is mm-hmm. the fact that you're lacking love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because we're supposed to love everyone. You know, Jesus tells us to love our enemies, you know, and my goodness. I mean, that is just, wow, what a paradigm.
Mm.
Huge. Right. Listen, this is what Mother Teresa said. This is what Mother Teresa said. Okay. She said, if we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
Wow, that's true. That's true.
Really, if you spend all your time criticizing and pointing out people's faults and looking how they don't measure up and how they messed up again, first of all, I mean, you need to look in the mirror.
You know what I mean? Right, right.
You probably made a couple of mistakes yourself, or you're about to hit one really hard.
Yeah, you're about
you know?
Exactly right.
And it helps us. It helps us because we need to have compassion. We need to have compassion again. I mean, it's just like when you lose love and things become busy, when you become impatient, you're only just concerned about yourself, you know, yours and mine and what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
We fail to empathize. We fail to have compassion for other people, and we fail to move in love. And you know, we've said this before, but we've got to slow down to the pace of love.
Yeah. It's critical.
You know, it is. Because without love, we don't have anything.
Right.
We don't have anything. And how, I mean, God's called us to be his representatives on the face of the earth, his ambassadors. And so, you know, by moving in love, if, you know, God is love.
That's right. And if you say you love your brother, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, he calls you a liar.
A liar.
Liar. That's pretty strong words.
Mm-hmm. I've always loved those. I always love those statements you say. I have my own relationship with God. I just love God. And I know, but you hate people right now. Come on.
I know a guy. I won't mention any names. Bless his soul.
Not Chris, right?
He goes, I love God. You know, I love hanging out with God. I just don't like people. They just get on my nerve. People just bother me.
Oh, God.
Wow.
This is a true story.
That's impossible.
That's impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say you love God and not love people. In fact, it's a good indicator. It's a good litmus test. We got to be real. You know, the thing is like, let's be real on this side. Let's talk about it. Let's do a you know, a checkup from the neck up. Let's check the heart. Let's look in under the hood.
Check up from the neck up. That's good. You know,
yeah, check what's going on.
Time for overhaul.
Listen, the Bible says to even examine yourself to see if you're still in the faith. I mean, the problem is, I mean, are we even examining ourselves? Are we even looking at what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time to remember. It's time to reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. And it's probably time to repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably time to repent and turn back. Turn back. Listen, you know what? God knows that we're made of dust, that we... you know, lose our alignment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, again, why abiding relationship with God is just so important. You know, we talk about this often and we say about this often, but please, one of the things that you know, we don't want you to do is to become so familiar that, you know, they keep talking about this abiding. Listen, go to iabide.org, iabide. .org and begin a plan today. When you've been hearing us talk about abiding.
Yes.
And you're saying, what is this abiding stuff? Check it out. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. It will change your life.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to be spending time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody. And if you're hearing from the Lord, let me tell you something. You're going to be able to keep yourself on path and on check. But I just wanted to share that. I wanted to talk about that today. I'm glad we're talking about it because you know what? We can fall prey to that at any moment. And it's okay for us to pause and say, you know what? I need to I need to just remember where I came from, remember who God is.
Right.
And I probably need to repent and not be judgmental.
That's right.
But always move in the position of love. Listen, the answer is always love. If it's just the answer is always move. If you always move in the position of love, guess what? You'll be right. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you move into any other position, it's probably not going to go well.
All right.
Not going to go well.
That's good.
Well, as we're coming to the end of the extra hour, I want to share the wisdom moment. I want to share the wisdom moment. I like to share it every day. And the wisdom moment is found in Proverbs 6, verses 20 to 23. And it says, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the correction of discipline are the way to life. Mm. Man, it's powerful.
Good.
I mean, God's word. We just finished talking about abiding. But God's word is a light in a very dark world. Mm. I mean, it's a bright light. And when it's dark out and you simply can't see, I mean, if you continue to walk, I mean, you're about to run into something and get hurt.
That's right.
I mean, I remember walking in my bedroom one time and, you know, lights are out. And you know how you kind of walk very slowly in your room because you're about to either run into, if you have kids, that's even more dangerous because there's toys or stuff all over the place.
Right, or dog.
Or dog. Man, and I stumped my toe.
Hmm.
And the pain. The pain that was in my toe.
And that's a serious toe. I've seen it.
Oh, bro, let me tell you. And it's beautiful because beautiful are the feet that bring the good news of the gospel.
Wait, you're quick.
Well, that's a matter of opinion there.
Wrote about it. Talk to the Lord about it. But it was one of them pains.
Yeah.
You know those pains where you're doing like a one hopper? You know what I'm saying? You're, mm-hmm. And you're hopping and you're going, mm.
Yeah, yeah. Try not to curse.
Yeah, it was excruciating. Hope not, you know.
All right.
But the pain was absolutely awful.
Mm.
And Psalms 119, 105 says that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Listen, it's dark out there. You know what I'm saying? Mm. There is great, great darkness, and we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey, but if we try to walk on, you know, in this life, we try to get, you know, without the light of God's word to guide us and to show us the way. Let me say something. You're bound. You're bound to not just stump your toe. You're bound to stump your life. You're bound to stump your family's life. You're bound to get into a bad situation. And I think sometimes there's a huge disconnect with some of the tragedies that are happening in our life. There's, you know, and that there's not a connection between the tragedy, the pain, and the hurt with what has actually happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, you know, maybe because you've been walking in darkness and not in the light that this has happened. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you. We're coming to the end of the extra hour. I wish we had more time, but I want to continue to share with you that, listen, God's word will guide you. It, when you walk, it will guide you. It will give you direction. God's word will speak to you. It'll keep you on the path. It'll keep you from taking deviations and twists and turns. When you sleep, let me tell you something. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything in it, and then you'll be successful." When you sleep, God's word will just begin to wash over you. And when you awake, it will speak to you. I love Isaiah 50:40 that says, he awakens me morning by morning, and he awakens my ear to listen as one being taught. Let me tell you, keep God's word ever before you. Let it be a light to remember, to remind you of his ways and of his will, and to guide you, to keep you on the path. Listen, you can't walk this life without light. You can't walk this life in darkness. You're about to crash and burn. Listen, you can be encouraged today. God's word will not only light where you're walking today, but will light your future direction. Today's moment of wisdom is found in Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your hearts forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will speak. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light. And the corrections of discipline are the way to life.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.